Good afternoon, this is Croft Woodruff with another edition of Dynamic Health here on CFRO-FM at 102.7 on the FM band. Well, last week we were talking about vaccines and we were talking about HIV. Does it exist or is it a figment of somebody's imagination? Certainly there's an awful lot of people making an awful lot of money out of the whole business of HIV/AIDS. But what comes to mind is by Thursday we heard that there was another study that had come out showing that there was no connection between the measles, mumps, rubella, otherwise known as the MMR vaccine, and the neurological brain disorder known as autism. And this study is out of Montreal, and then there was another study out of Japan making the same type of claims. What I find the problem with these studies, of course, is that they are basically statistical analysis. And if they don't go back far enough, then they are not going to find that connection, where the years before the introduction of the MMR vaccine, autism was a relatively, a relatively rare phenomenon. And after the introduction of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, then it started to show and it's been growing exponentially ever since. However, we have to look at the way media reports these things. We hear them trumpeting back and forth on all the radio and television networks and in the newspapers that there's no connection between the vaccine and the AIDS, autism, and there is, therefore, people can safely have their children vaccinated. Well, there was an item in the Kansas City Star out of Kansas City, Missouri, just this past week, showing that a 7-year-old boy had received a $43+ million in compensation from the United States National Institutes of Health for becoming a quadriplegic, that is loss of arms and legs, the use of his arms or legs, because of the MMR vaccine. Now, this payout was from the U.S. government, and they have had a compensation program since 1987 when the government had, in the interest of public health, decided to make vaccines mandatory for children to get into kindergarten and school and so on. And the trouble was is that they were down to about 2 vaccine manufacturers minus some 15 that had been in the business. They had got out of the business because the damage suits from that they had to pay out were becoming bankrupting from vaccine damage. And so with the compulsory vaccination law, Congress decided to save the vaccination program by offering compensation through the government. And since 1987, when that compensation law was passed, over $1 billion have been paid out in vaccine damage. And that, by the way, represents only 10% of the claims made against vaccine damage. And certainly the measles, mumps, rubella, and the DPT shot, the Hep B shot, the Hib B shot, and so on and so on, and the polio shots have all been fingered, and compensation has been paid out for the damage that they've caused. Something that you do not hear on our national television networks and our radio newscasts, as if this damage business doesn't exist, that these compensation programs don't exist, but I can assure you that they do. And isn't it funny that there have been 2 studies published, one reported just last year in the Journal of the American College of Physicians and Surgeons, as well as the New England Medical Journal, showing that there is a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, But you didn't hear that on the national news, either on our two major networks, and I guess, what is it? There's Global, there's CTV, and of course CBC. You certainly didn't hear it on the CBC Radio 1 or Radio 2 news bulletins. And so, obviously, there is a blackout when it comes to vaccine injury and vaccine damage payouts. And by the way, if you want to join in the program, the number to call is 604-684-7561. It is open line on Dynamic Health. You can raise any issue you wish. If you wish to bring issue regarding my remarks on opening the program, please feel welcome to do so. I wonder how many out there who listened to the program last week went to some of these sites that we mentioned, such as Orphans on Trial and Vaccine Myth or the Perth Group. It would be interesting if anybody out there has gone onto those websites and had a look and perhaps get a much more interesting, a wider perspective of what is really going on in the world of viruses and of course, vaccines. And, of course, I have before me this interesting document. You don't need to have HIV to test HIV positive. Factors known to cause false positive HIV antibody results includes anti-carbohydrate antibodies, naturally occurring antibodies, passive immunization, receipt of gamma globulin or immune globulin as a prophylaxis against infection, which contains antibodies, leprosy, tuberculosis, Mycobacterium avium, I think that's right, I haven't got my glasses on here, systemic lupus erythematosus, renal, that is kidney failure, hemodialysis or renal failure. Hemodialysis, of course, is to try and do with a machine what the kidneys are no longer doing, and this can make you HIV positive if you are tested accordingly. And then, of course, there's alpha interferon therapy in hemodialysis patients, having the flu, having the flu shot, having a herpes simplex 1 or herpes simplex 2 infection, upper respiratory tract infection, cold or flu, a recent viral infection or exposure to viral vaccines, pregnancy, that's a good one, and malaria, hepatitis, blood transfusions, normal human, what they call, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put my cheaters on for that one. It's just a little bit too closely together. Now, yes, it's ribonucleoproteins. That's what it is. Normal human ribonucleoproteins. Other retroviruses, if such things exist, antimicrosomal antibodies, Stevenson-Johnson syndrome. Now, that is a very interesting one because Stevenson-Johnson syndrome can be caused by the application of nevirapine, which is an anti-neoplastin drug used to treat people who are HIV positive. So there you are, you get the treatment for your being HIV positive, you're persuaded to take this drug, and you develop Stevens-Johnson syndrome, and they say, well, you know, you've got AIDS, you know, and you're HIV positive still. Good God. High levels of circulating immune complexes, false positives on other tests, including rapid plasma reagent tests for syphilis, rheumatoid arthritis, the hepatitis B vaccination, tetanus vaccination, organ transplantation, renal transplantation, which of course is the same thing as organ transplant. So any of these things, and you can be tested, you can test HIV positive, and if you're foolish enough to believe it, that you are HIV positive, and say, and believe that you're going to die, as they will tell you, that you're going to get AIDS and you'll die, I can assure you, if you end up with these drugs, you will indeed get AIDS and you will die. And by the way, that's only half of what I've read off of this list of you don't need to have HIV to test HIV positive. These factories are known to cause false positive HIV antibody results. And the lines are open at 604-684-7561. And it is Dynamic Health here on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM on the FM band in Vancouver. And, of course, if you're on Vancouver Island, the Lower Mainland, cable frequencies throughout these areas, as well as Central Vancouver Island, Central BC, I should say, in the Okanagan Valley, you can tune in to CFRO just by hooking up an FM receiver to your cable vision output. Well, and let's see, did you know this, that no HIV test has ever been approved by the Food and Drug Administration of the United States for diagnosing actual HIV infection? No HIV test can determine if you have HIV-specific antibodies or the actual virus. No HIV test has ever been validated by the direct finding of HIV in any human being. And no exposure to HIV is necessary in order to test HIV positive, as we've already demonstrated at the outset. So don't forget to check out those websites like HIV, that is virusmyth.net. That's V-I-R-U-S-M-Y-T-H, all one word, lowercase, .net. And you'll get the real lowdown as to what is going on out there. You have a significant number of scientists, including a couple of Nobel Prize winners, that will tell you that this whole HIV postulate is a fraud. They have never isolated and identified an HIV virus that could be attributed to causing AIDS. And that's why there is no vaccine, because you have to have a virus to develop a vaccine. And that's why nobody has yet to win a Nobel Prize for developing a vaccine. We would have heard about it by now. Yes, they've developed vaccines of what they thought was HIV virus, only to have the vaccine be more deadly. It was giving more problems than what it was solving in terms of adverse reactions. There is a magazine called Continuum Magazine. That's C-O-N-T-I-N-U-U-M, Continuum Magazine. They are offering a reward of £25,000 to anybody who can produce the virus that is supposed to cause AIDS. Now, there have been pictures purported to be HIV virus, but unfortunately, they were actually antibodies that you saw, or contaminations of what the medium was that they were testing the blood or the samples for HIV. And, of course, we know that even from the New England Journal of Medicine has editorialized that the tests are not reliable. And, of course, they cannot possibly be used to diagnose of anything such as AIDS. But people are buying into it, and then they are suckered into taking these drugs, which the label says, first of all, a nice skull and crossbones, which tells us that's death. It has to be kept at 0 degrees Celsius, and you have to wear a mask and wear protective gloves if you're going to handle it. Do not inhale. And guess what? It's a bone marrow suppressant. Anything that suppresses bone marrow is an immune suppressor, because the bone marrow is where your red blood cells as well as white blood cells are manufactured. So, hey, what gives, people? We've been led down the garden path. 604-684-7561 is the number to call. And time is just coming up to about 14 after the hour. My name is Crawford. The program is Dynamic Health. And getting back to our public health officials who keep flogging a flawed vaccine like MMR, not to mention diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus vaccine. The World Health Organization, by the way, was responsible for sending a tetanus vaccine deliberately contaminated, with a birth control hormone, and they were giving it to Thai women and children, as well as Filipino women and children. And what for? Was there an express purpose here, obviously, of introducing birth control against people's informed consent? What is going on in the world?
Someone asked.
Yes.
If there's no virus, what is the cause of AIDS, then, in your view?
All right. How about unsanitary conditions in terms of use of recreational drugs, from dirty needles, malnutrition, because a lot of these people are on things like crack cocaine and other drugs, and of course improper diagnosis would be number one. I just witnessed obviously a skeleton posing as a human being doing their laundry half naked, and you could count every bone on their rib cage and down the spine of their back to their belt buckle, and doing a Vitus dance. There's an example of a person at risk and could be diagnosed as possibly HIV positive, even though they may not have any infection or obvious infection. But what does cause AIDS? All right, we've already talked about recreational drugs, dirty needles, an unsanitary, unsafe lifestyle, and then you could test HIV positive, and then you are diagnosed as AIDS, having AIDS, even though you can be perfectly healthy. There are a lot of people out there who are HIV positive, and they're perfectly healthy and have been since this whole thing hit the scene way back in the 1980s. As I say, they're not diagnosed. The physicians are not diagnosing the condition properly, and they're disregarding former diagnoses of patients. And of course, there is such a thing as Koch postulates, and maybe one of my more knowledgeable listeners, knows these things, will come forward. And what are Koch postulates? And it basically works down like this: if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it flies and swims like a duck, and looks like a duck, it probably is a duck. And Koch postulates work along that line. So you can't have contradictions when you are diagnosing a disease or forming a diagnosis of disease. There has to be a certain logical pattern that the condition or syndrome has to follow. And if it doesn't follow that, then it's not a right diagnosis.
Well, doesn't that have to do with isolating the virus in an animal, injecting the animal with the virus, then harvesting that that virus, and then infecting another animal with it or something like that?
They do that sort of thing. But again, you see, the whole problem is that you're doing something that is not normally done in the animal kingdom. The only way one animal can infect the other, it would be through a bite, a physical attack where there are wounds, and even then, animals have a pretty good immune system, better than ours because of our bad dietary habits, our love affair with the fast foods, and of course, unsafe sexual practices have to be looked into as part of the syndrome, and that can make you more vulnerable. A lifestyle that you're not getting enough sleep. People who are sexual maniacs in terms of they've got to have sex, exhausting the body's procreative forces. That in itself, I'm sure, can be immune suppressive, and of course malnutrition. One of the big problems in Africa, for instance, is really it's malnutrition, unsanitary conditions, war-like conditions because of civil strife, people living in areas where they're subject to parasitic disease, bad sanitation, they're living amongst poor garbage disposal and not safe potable water to drink. And the diet probably is marginal at best. All of these things have to be taken into consideration. And I think the problem in Africa is more to do with the civil wars and the strife that's been going on, and of course the other factors that contribute to the degradation and ill health of humanity. But don't blame the AIDS. So who would want to perpetrate this agenda? And of course, it's interesting, ever since HIV AIDS appeared on the scene way back in the 1880s, they've changed the rules in terms of diagnosing this syndrome. And of course, you have these anomalies of people who are HIV positive, but they're not sick, and they're perfectly healthy. And then there are those who allow themselves to be bamboozled into accepting these anti-neoplastin drugs and guess what? It now becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They develop immune suppression. I've seen these cases where they used to hit the AIDS patient hard and heavy with these drugs like AZT, and there'd be a huge rise in white cell activity, antibody activity in the body, presumably, well, it's obviously a reaction to the toxin being sent into the body, because the body will react to any toxin that's introduced with an immune response, and white cell activity is that. But the trouble is, a massive dose of these drugs kills the immune system or suppresses it. And when they don't see the normal count that they would expect of the immune system, they think that the virus has mutated. And of course, there's no virus because they haven't isolated or identified such a thing. But what they have done is they've impaired or destroyed the immune system with a massive dose of these drugs. And then, of course, now the new protocol announced in the last couple of years is that instead of hitting the AIDS patient hard and heavy with these toxic drugs, these poisons, they give them a much more slower controlled dose. So it's more like the death of a thousand cuts, but the end result is the same. The patient dies. For some people who seem to survive all of this, I can only say they can put it down to a very, very robust constitution that is able to withstand these toxic insults to the body. But sooner or later, the body will say enough is enough, and it will succumb.
So you don't accept the theory of it being a manufactured virus through gene splicing and that sort of.
Well, if it was, they would have. If it was, they would have been able to identify it, to be able to isolate it, and come up with a vaccine, and that simply hasn't happened. And there are a tremendous number of scientists, including two Nobel Prize winners, who have in fact they dispute the existence of a virus, and they put down AIDS as a matter of other causes, not a virus. And you have to look at the viral infections in the first place. The statistics are very interesting. Like the U.S. National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control, their records, like they say, well, there's about 33 million people in the United States that come down with the flu. Now, up until recently, they were claiming about 33,000 deaths. By the way, that figure of 22 million it was of people, that came from people going into a doctor's offices or hospital emergency with flu-like symptoms. And of course, now we find out in their records that the death rate is less than 1,000. It's more like a few hundred. And what they are attributing to flu could be something like food poisoning, which is quite common these days because of bad hygiene on the part of food preparers and handlers, as well as the whole processed food industry. I mean, if you look at the feedlot with cattle, I mean, it's a dead zone. Nothing grows there because they're standing in urine and feces. And you can't tell me that doesn't get that contamination doesn't continue on into the slaughterhouse and onto the packaging tables where they package the meat and send it off. And we have a situation in bad labor practices where people aren't allowed bathroom breaks, and so they're standing there. They're paid such poor wages that they get docked if they take a break, and so they stand there. They wet themselves or fill their pants. So you have human feces on the floor, and it's bound to get into the air and onto whatever they're preparing. Plus the fact that maybe they don't wash their hands because their hygiene standards aren't what they should be. So you've got all of these sort of factors. And, I mean, hygiene starts at home, but it should darn well continue at the workplace, regardless of what kind of work you do. And of course, I think that we witness now that doctors don't even wash their hands before going from one patient to another. You know, coming from one patient to another, should be washing their hands, especially when they're prodding and probing.
Shades of Semmelweis, the same thing.
Exactly. Things haven't changed in over 170 years.
And they drove him mad.
Yeah, and they vilified him. They absolutely vilified him. Why, it was absolutely shameful to suggest that doctors, saviors of humanity, would be infecting women with childbed fever simply because they were not washing their hands after dissecting corpses and then going into the delivery rooms. And it got so bad in cities like Vienna and Budapest, I should say, and Prague, that the hospitals made money, of course, when women went into hospital for giving birth, and they were going out, and any woman that was close to term, they'd seize them off the street and haul them into the hospital. This is a matter of historical fact. And it got so that the women of these cities knew better than to be out and about, because they, if they were near term, they were at risk of being hospital napped.
Yeah, it's worse than the ambulance chasers of today.
Just about. And of course, then you hear the doctors to suggest that we doctors would be responsible for our own patients' infection and death. But the same thing occurs with the MMR vaccine and the other vaccines that cause so much damage and have been responsible for, as I say, over $1 billion in payout by the U.S. government in compensatory damage to the vaccine injured and killed. In the United Kingdom alone, within the last few years, over 25 infants have died directly as a result of the MMR vaccine. But you won't hear that on the national news, and you won't read it in our newspapers. And that's the bottom line. And then you hear a public health officer in the province say that it's unthinkable that doctors would be deliberately poisoning children with vaccines. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Medical Health Officer, but that just happens to be the case. And, of course, there are those among us, and perhaps much better off than we are, and in the high places, who say, who cares? It's population control. And it goes on and on and on. And I'm going on and on. Do I have to do a monologue? I'm glad I've got someone here who is au courant on these issues. And
does Dr. Horowitz...
Leonard Horowitz, yeah.
Does he postulate a virus?
We should get him on again and challenge him on that, because... as they say, there are a lot of people who think there is definitely a genetically engineered virus. I would have suggested that maybe the SARS virus, that's the severe acute respiratory syndrome that was hitting China and Canada and other countries 3 years ago now, with about something like 7,000 people worldwide coming down with this syndrome, and about 700 deaths or so, and then it disappeared. And of course, we don't hear too much about the West Nile virus, do we? Okay, so we'll take some calls. And of course, if you're dialing and the line's busy, keep on trying. We'll get to your calls as quickly as we can. Line one, you're on the air.
Hello, Croft.
Yes.
Yes, this is Corky Day.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for the interesting program. I've been hearing on the news lately about a new vaccine for genital warts that they're talking about giving to all women.
Yes.
Do you have any news or opinions on that?
Yes. For one thing, there are many viruses that are known to cause this, and this cervical vaccine that they've introduced only covers a very small portion of those. The clinical trials to establish the efficacy of the vaccine, as well as safety, are very, very short, less than 3 years. I mean, it's just like the regular vaccines that they're always bringing out for childhood vaccines. They're only tested for a matter of a few weeks, if even that. And yet you can have repercussions several weeks to several months to even a year later in terms of an adverse reaction. And you have to realize that anything that causes cancer, it might take that cancer years to manifest. You mean, you could have an insult of, say, asbestos, and it might be 25 years before you develop mesothelioma cancer as a result of that asbestos exposure. And so I think this whole business of it's been fast-tracked. The manufacturer is is Merck, the same company that gave us Vioxx, and Merck is facing bankrupting lawsuits over the Vioxx COX-2 anti-inflammatory. That's the same category as a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, all of which have their problems, but A New England Journal of Medicine had to publish a correction just recently. They had to admit that it doesn't take several months to a couple of years to have problems with Vioxx. It was a matter of 3 months. So unfortunately, Big Pharma is totally corrupt. Everything is based on profit, and the only way you can have profit is through patenting your medicines. This is one reason why they have big antagonism towards the vitamin and herbal industry, because these industries, their products are not patentable. There are some exceptions. For instance, Merck gave us CoQ10. But they couldn't patent it, so they sold the technology to the Japanese so that you can pay about $60 for 100 milligram capsules of CoQ10. It's all profit motivated. And vaccines, vaccines can be patented too. In fact, this new cervical vaccine, I think it's pretty pricey. It's well over $100 a shot, and who's going to pay for it? If the government approves of it and makes it available, then the taxpayer is going to pay for it. And if a person is foolish enough, and I mean this is aimed at 11-year-old and 12-year-old girls, you know, so what can you expect, Corky?
Well, their parents are going to think, well, if I have these three shots, it'll protect them for the rest of their life. They're thinking.
Yeah, well, there's no vaccine that has yet been developed that gives a lifetime protection. I can show you documentation from peer-reviewed journals like the New England Journal of Medicine and the British Medical Journal and Lancet, the other prestigious medical journal out of the United Kingdom, as well as other medical journals that show that these vaccines only give limited coverage. Even 50% of those receiving an initial vaccine will show antibody response that would indicate that they have some protection against the disease they're being vaccinated against. And the same thing happens when people, and they have booster shots. You might remember at Simon Fraser University way back in the middle, about 1997, they had an outbreak of measles amongst the students. Now, these people, they're in their late teens, 18, 19, 20, 21, and they're coming down with full-blown measles, and they had been vaccinated against it. And public health, of course, slipped up and tipped their hand as far as the secret is. If you've had measles in childhood, you don't need a vaccination. And that's exactly what they were saying. Only those people who had been previously vaccinated should go and get a booster shot. So what's the point of a vaccination if it's not going to give you lifetime immunity? If you have measles as a youngster, and providing your mother, if you're of this generation of teens, because the measles vaccine was brought out in the 1980s, or was it? I forget. It's been about 30-odd years that some of these measles vaccine was bought out. I could stand corrected, but that generation that got those shots as children, the mothers are unable to pass on measles antibodies to their infants, and the infants are doubly vulnerable to problems, and they have to be vaccinated, and there's no guarantee that they will have immunity, and if they show no immunity, they're going to have booster shots. So it's a perpetual turnaround for the vaccine manufacturer. They've got you could say a lifetime customer, haven't they?
Yeah. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead. One more.
Yeah. Well, since you're talking about vaccines and viruses. And then you said for HIV, it is not a virus.
Well, they haven't found one yet, Corky. That's the problem. That's why they have no vaccine. If you are going to manufacture a vaccine, you've got to have a virus to make a vaccine. It's as simple as that. They've done that for other virus infections, but they haven't been able to do it for HIV.
But if
you could be HIV positive and there's no virus. As simple as that.
If there were a virus discovered, then would you support a vaccine for it? I mean, would you advocate it, or would you also urge caution?
Well, I'll put it to you. There's a Dr. Sonnabend. If you punch that into your search engine on the internet, this doctor was curing AIDS patients before appearance of viruses, and he was using antibodies. AIDS is basically a multiple infectious disease where you have several infections, such as yeast infections, fungus infections, and viral infections from other, like pneumonia, the pneumonia virus, and so on. And you might have parasitic infections as well, which compounds it. Because you will show, if you have a parasitic infection, you can show antibodies to that too. So that's the conundrum. You have a scientist who indeed was successfully treating AIDS patients, people had full-blown AIDS, and curing them with using antibodies. And his journal, AIDS Research, was hijacked. The AIDS Research Journal was hijacked by Gallo and the government and military and corporate scientists within the United States administration. And you have to realize that Gallo indeed was indicted for fraud. Of course, claiming to have discovered the HIV/AIDS virus, and how he didn't get a Nobel Prize for it, because what he discovered, you couldn't make a vaccine out of. Okay?
Well, okay, thanks
a lot. Thank you for the call and the input. It's much appreciated. And we have a line open at 604-684-7561. Go ahead, line two, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Croft.
Yes.
On that list of things that depress the immune system, I'd like you to add a few more. I would like you to add that most of the pharmaceutical medications depress the immune system. Heavy metals depress the immune system. All of the foods that are laced with pesticides and herbicides and every other side that they put on our fields will depress the immune system.
How about this one?
The chemicals and plastics will depress the immune system.
And how about high levels of fat or lipids in the blood? And lipid is another fancy word for cholesterol.
The hydrogenated, all of the adulterated...
The trans fats, exactly.
Foods and oils, okay. In other words, there are many, many things that depress the immune system. And may I point out that if you have something that causes poor health and it is a big profit maker for big pharma or the chemical industry, etc., you will definitely have something turn up on the horizon. They will invent a disease that, quote, clears the pesticides, the herbicides, the chemicals, etc., and focuses on this new disease.
Can you give me a definition of Koch postulates?
The Koch postulate is when the same thing, every time you do a certain thing, you get exactly the same result.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no deviation. And then the minute you have something that doesn't produce a true result, then obviously the whole theory goes out.
That's right. And, of course, the HIV/AIDS hypothesis does not fit Koch postulates.
Now, I have four other things I'd like to mention here that fits into what you introduced. First of all, I'd like to point out that they had a massive smallpox eradication vaccine program. I don't know how many decades ago was that. Anyway, it was immediately after that when you superimposed the two maps, the outbreak of AIDS was a direct result of the smallpox eradication vaccine program.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, vaccines, the viruses that you inject, I think that the Bible says, do not contaminate the blood. Now that isn't because it's biblical. It's biblical because it is an old wisdom. You do not shoot infections into the blood system because the body has umpteen ways of... it puts up barriers, the barrier of the skin, the barrier of the mucous membranes.
The barrier of the brain.
The blood-brain barrier. Now, when it comes to the MMR, I'd like to go back to Klenner, who found that children could die within 30 minutes to an hour once the blood-brain barrier had been compromised from encephalitis. And when you shoot a live virus into the blood system and at the same time accompany it with aluminum hydroxide, which compromises the blood-brain barrier, formaldehyde, which compromises the blood-brain barrier, mercury, which compromises the blood-brain barrier, and I think there are several other additives that they put in because without them, the immune system doesn't even react to what they're shooting the virus, right? You have to aggravate the immune system to even react.
In just a minute, I want to make a point regarding live viruses. Actually, a live virus is a virus where the telomere has not been inactivated by fever or by heat.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the telomere is destroyed by a fever, then the virus it's finished. It cannot replicate anymore because it needs the telomere to do that. So when they put a virus that is intact with the telomere into the child, they are really setting up a problem.
Well, actually, we're going to have an even bigger catastrophe. But in any case, in case of the MMR, the minute you put in substances that actually break down the blood-brain barrier and the live virus can get into the brain tissue, you will run a huge risk of developing encephalitis.
And convulsions.
Well, the convulsions is a sign of encephalitis.
Yeah, yes.
And so therefore, it is absolutely ridiculous for them to say, well, the entire brain disorders that follow the vaccines are, who is the one that wrote the book that the post-encephalitic syndrome? Coulter? Coulter.
Yeah.
In other words, now the other thing is that there are several very effective therapies for active viral infections. You can use intravenous vitamin C, which, as far as Klenner's experience goes, wiped out every viral infection. You have the Koch treatment, all they have to do is revive it. You have the Rife or the frequency treatments for viruses. There are many treatments that can deal with acute viral diseases. Now, the other thing that really just sets me back on my heels and I get very angry at, the World Health Organization has said unequivocally that the polio vaccine that they're taking, forcing on all of the third world. They actually have police that go from house to house and drag the kids out.
Hey, they get vaccinated maybe no. as many as five or six times for the same
that's right.
thing.
But what they have said, in the third world, they will use the Sabin live virus polio vaccine, which we know is not allowed in the States because it causes polio. In other words, the vaccine eradication program is causing an epidemic of polio in the third world and is going to either wipe out or
certainly depopulate
exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the World Health Organization has said that the vaccines, the MMR and the other vaccines that are going to the third world, will have Tamiflu in them.
Yeah, and who cares? That's population control.
Well, this is exactly... In other words, the vaccines are not there to save these populations. This is literally a depopulation move, but when people die and die slowly and die ill, it's kind of hard to put your finger and say, this is the cause. I mean, you can't go down and shoot people anymore and then everybody would rise up against it, but you can kill them slowly. And quite frankly, I am incensed at the idea that we now have packages of five viruses. Can you imagine an infant having five live viruses shot into their bloodstream along with these contaminants? And then people saying, oh, no, it doesn't cross the brain barrier. It doesn't cause encephalitis. There's no connection with learning difficulties. There's no connection with autism. This is science by declaration. In other words, Alice in Wonderland, if I say it is, it is.
And you know... They know it does what we know it does, and they are scared witless, because when the people find out, there is going to be, well, I would say a revolution. I know that the pharma cartels are shaking in their boots. That's why the Senate and Congress passed immunization laws against liability suits against, in other words, they immunized the pharma cartels from lawsuits arising out of vaccine damage.
Well, not only the pharma cartels, if FEMA... because FEMA is in charge the minute you have any kind of an epidemic, right?
Yeah.
Neither the government nor the industry can be held liable for any damage.
That's right. And, of course, that trickles down to your local medical doctor and your public health officer, who in some instances have been held liable in terms of forcing a vaccine on a family and have it backfired, but unfortunately...
It doesn't translate into policy.
No.
I mean, I'll give you another example of this cover-up and protecting the chemicals. The chemicals that have gone into the environment and to which people are exposed all cause reproductive disorders. Now, we have animals that can no longer reproduce because they become double-sexed or
Hermaphrodites, yeah.
But, in other words, neither the male nor the female develops properly, etc. In other words, you have reproductive dysfunction, right?
Right.
When reproductive dysfunction turns up in the human population, we don't say it's these chemicals that mimic estrogen and have upset the hormone system. We say, oh, well, now this sexual dysfunction is a normal choice. We, instead of saying, get the damn chemicals out of the environment, we say, well, the symptom that we have now is really just simply another expression of nature, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, we see this business of hermaphroditism.
I tread very carefully there,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, which is happening amongst reptiles and turtles,
frogs.
You know, snakes and frogs and this sort of thing. And there's been a big die-off or disappearance of these very important members of the ecology.
I don't know whether you got the last letter yesterday from Dr. Horowitz, who was asking for people to become very active. Down in Idaho, they are going to dump 400,000 pounds of 2,4-D and another chemical, which is actually a fluoride product, in order to kill milfoil in that lake.
Which, Coeur d'Alene Lake? Which lake is it?
I haven't got it right.
Idaho is Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah. One of the still most pristine. Now, the thing is, you cannot dump 400,000 pounds of 2,4-D into any lake without killing and poisoning the entire ecosystem and everything that lives in that lake. Now, this is the stupidest example of environmental insanity from government levels and government officials who go to universities and never attach themselves to real life. You really wonder whether they ever stop to figure out how biology works and what the chain reaction of chemicals is. And when they target one thing like the milfoil, that everything else that is touched was also wiped out. When you spray for the mosquito, every other insect is also killed, the good and the bad. And on it goes. We are living in a world of cover-up and environmental and health insanity.
What would you suggest?
What I would suggest, a little bit of truth. I would suggest that, no, we are really in an information war. And the government and industry are the biggest polluters of information.
Yeah, the biggest colluders.
It is a pollution of information. We get mis- and disinformation that is designed to protect their businesses and their profits and their liabilities.
Well, do you think our regulatory agencies like Health Canada and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration or their parent body, you know, the National Institutes of Health, have any credibility at all anymore?
Well, they are owned and run and infiltrated by people loyal to the corporate world.
Well, they have a revolving door.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you look at Rumsfeld, of course, he's the Secretary of Defense of the U.S. government, but he had connections with Cyril, the holder of the patents of aspartame NutraSweet, and a
not
subsidiary,
the only,
and
has a patents on.
Yeah, Tamiflu, the anti-flu drug, which actually will kill patients faster than the flu will, and they're hoping to use it against the wild bird flu and waiting. Then you have he's connected with Monsanto, who gave us what 2,4-D and all that.
I mean, quite frankly, I would like to see, we should be working to get the pharmaceutical industry out of, we should get people healthy enough that they don't need these things. In other words, the reason you shouldn't ever privatize medicine is because there is a real profit incentive to keep disease going.
That's right.
I mean, at least when it was done by the public, and with public money, you could say, well, the taxpayer would really like to cut down, not to increase profits, right?
Right. Well, I'll give you a good example. You have Matthias Raff, who's being sued by Rockefeller in Cape Town, South Africa, because he has a protocol, just like Sonneben had, just like Cathcart has, just like our friend Leonard Horowitz has, answers to these problems. But it
and he's giving to them free. Now, isn't
that's
that
right.
A terrible thing?
Oh,
eh?
Absolutely. You know, and just another example, several years ago, and this goes back to the night, it took 10 9 years for these chiropractors to get into court to sue the American Medical Association and the American Orthopedic Surgeons Association and the American Hospital Association over restraint of trade and violation of various laws regarding monopolistic practices. And it finally got to court, and there was a study that had been commissioned by the orthopedic surgeons that they were going to prove that they were much better than the chiropractors. They had two hospitals in the Chicago area. One was Lutheran General, and the other one is JFK Memorial. It happened that in JFK Memorial, the patients there had access to chiropractic services, whereas in Lutheran General, it was only orthopedic surgeons who had, the patients had access to. Guess what? JFK Hospital was actually saving $7,000 per patient per year, and that was, I think, in 1980 prices. Now, don't you think that this government in Victoria should smarten up and say, let's let the chiropractors into the hospitals and see what they can do, and maybe we'll save a bundle on by not having to do unnecessary orthopedic surgery, or maybe we should bring in the naturopaths and maybe we can save a bundle on better nutrition and natural therapies instead of these high-priced drugs that send the patients off to an early grave or an expensive stay in the hospital under palliative or long-term failure care.
Croft, that isn't the end of the story.
That's
the end of the story. You see, when the AMA lost in court, within 6 months, they founded the Quackbusters. Now, the Quackbusters became the information channel to the media.
That's right.
In other words, because they lost in court, they then set up a disinformation and an attack through the media, and the Quackbusters then became the authority for years now, right?
Right, and you have the American Council on Science and Health. That sounds very scientific, an organization that sounds pseudo-government, so we can look up to it, pseudo-science, pseudo-government. And it's, in fact, that's what it is. It's false science, and they love everything from arsenic to an overdose of zinc, I should think, and everything in between, from fluoride and all these chemicals in the food chain, food processing, white sugar, white flour. Why, with fluoridation, you don't have to worry. The children can have their sticky sweets now. That was one of their board members, Frederick Stare. That was his comment.
Victor Herbert.
Yeah, old Victor Herbert, you know. I had to laugh it's not nice to laugh at somebody's passing, I guess. But this man was absolutely vitriolic in his attack against respected physicians and scientists like Linus Pauling.
Well, I went to a 1.5-hour lecture of Victor Herbert, and in the 1.5-hour, he did not put out one single scientific fact that was correct.
And, of course, that's why hell burned a little brighter during the week that he died.
Well, unfortunately, there are plenty of others paid by the industry that will. I mean, it's almost like there's a whole slew of them ready to step in their shoes.
Well, right? The good news is that the Quackbusters haven't been doing too well in the last.
Thanks to Tim Boland.
Yeah, exactly, and some of them are dying for failure to heed the warnings of the natural health products industry and the naturopaths and the real nutritionists. And was it one of them, Renner? He died on the operating table. His arteries were full of plaque. And of course, Herbert died of cancer. Barrett is hanging on by a thread. He's had bypass surgery and takes synthetic vitamin E.
Yeah.
I might also mention
Croft. People say, oh, one person can't do anything, what can I do? Tim Boland is one person. He knows his information, he researches his information, and he hits straight on. Now, that one person has been the most... he has people around him, yes, but he has been the leader in bringing down the Quackbusters.
Well, if you get to his website, and that applies to everybody who's listening, it's Tim Boland, T-I-M. Boland is capital B-O-L-E-N. Punch that into his search engine, and you get to his website, you'll have a real eye-opener, and it's well-archived, and you'll get the whole story of what's been going on.
This man is a soldier and a crusader for sanity. That is, I mean, we owe him a great debt.
Absolutely. Well, I guess have we got another caller on the line?
Okay.
No, we're okay. So if you have any more comments, caller.
Not for today. It's just I think people have to become more and more aware of the fact that vaccinations cross the brain barrier.
And I might just add, listeners, that this caller is a retired school teacher and very knowledgeable in the field of natural health and the crisis in medicine, the failure of medicine. We have the fastest growing, failing, but very profitable business in our healthcare system. And our politicians keep working with it. It doesn't matter if they're right, left, or center. Whoever's in power, it's business as usual. They just come up and it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as it's going down into the North Atlantic, you know, to the bottom of the sea.
You know, Croft, it's rather interesting. Not that I know exactly what is causing it. However, in the 13 years that I taught in the 50s and 60s, I did not see one single brain damaged child. I did not see one single hyperactive child. There were some children that were more intelligent than others, but there was not a single totally learning disabled child.
Yeah.
So something has happened in the last 30 years. And we don't want to put our finger on it because it would point straight to industry, and straight to money, and straight to the ring of gold in their coffers.
Well, it's interesting too, caller, that you see in the newspapers that they are pointing now. I know, of course, there's programs on television pointing to the fast food industry. You know, the hamburgers, the fries, the hydrogenated oils that these foods are boiled or prepared with, and the epidemic of obesity.
You know, I would just like to mention one other thing, because the World Health Organization has overturned that now. But when Japan originally introduced vaccines to infant vaccines, it was the pediatricians, literally thousands of pediatricians, that went to the Japanese government and asked for permission not to vaccinate in the first 2 years because the infant was that vulnerable to very serious problems.
Yeah, and you have
now, are these people all idiots?
Yeah, we have our public health officers in this province, you know, imploring to parents and cajoling them or threatening them to get their newborn infant shot up with hepatitis B vaccine. A vaccine, by the way, that can make an infant HIV positive.
Well, where did they go to school? Did they not know that the infant's immune system isn't developed and can't produce antibodies?
That's right, and the very nature of the vaccine is an assault on the immune system.
I mean, that's why the mother's milk has antibodies, because
yeah.
the baby's immune system is so immature that it can't respond to that challenge.
That's right, and of course, with mercury in it, and even in traces that they say they have now, the aluminum hydroxide they don't talk about, and the formaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen, they don't talk about that, but it's on all these vaccines. What do they think it's going to do to an 8-pound infant?
Well, we have research right here in British Columbia. I forget the name of the, is it Dr. Clark? Who proved that the aluminum hydroxide breaks down the brain barrier and causes brain damage. That alone, even without the vaccine.
That's right. And by the way, the MMR vaccine in the United Kingdom never did have mercury in it. But it does over here, I understand.
No, it's because the live virus does not leave the body if you have a low immune system.
You got it. It can keep replicating.
That's right.
Well, that's it. Thanks a lot for joining the program and contributing to it. I really appreciate that. I'm Croft Woodruff. You've been listening to Dynamic Health. It's time to close down the program, and we'll be back this coming Wednesday next week with another hour of Dynamic Health, all things being equal. And thank you for listening, and do have a pleasant, if slightly damp, afternoon.